Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, as those who have the word and it has been handed down to us, we are also then inheritors of the safety and protection of God. Lions don't like you to mess with them, as can be seen from the Tsavo story. In the late 1890s, there was a colonel who was conscripted to build a railroad and a bridge across the Tsavo River in Kenya. And so they struck out with all of the equipment on the railroad. They would build a little section and then move the train and the camp until they were going to reach the river. Before they got to the river, the camp was struck with an awesome, awful thing. Two predator lions snuck in at night and dragged out a couple of the workers. And they held them on the edge of camp and feasted. That struck fear throughout the camp in a tremendous way, and many of the people were threatening to leave. So the organizers got together and said, we'll just build a large thorn kind of barrier around the camp, and there's no way the lions can get through. They worked hard at it, spent a whole day doing it, and the lions got through. One by one, they kept coming in, getting into the tents, dragging out human beings. And that didn't work, so they tried bonfires, and they put a curfew on, and yet there were screams in the night, and literally almost every person in camp was ready to leave. They even said that Colonel John Henry Patterson himself must have brought the demons. And in a way, they were right. As far as we know, it was the largest kill of humans ever done by lions. Two lions took a reputed 135 people. Until Colonel Patterson stood his ground and he shot and killed them. The larger of the two measured 9 feet, 8 inches from tip to tip. Now, I don't know about you, but I suppose you can say I like lions. Any of you from Detroit? I mean, they look cuddly, and they look so nice when they're behind a thick 1-inch glass barrier in the zoo, don't they? But they are not all that friendly bedfellows, are they? That's why the den was the classic actual execution in the time of Babylon and the Medes and the Persians. They would reserve it for the worst of enemies, the worst of criminals, and then they would throw them down into a den filled with hungry lions. Sure death. So, are you as brave, as courageous as Daniel? Yeah, sitting in church, we sing the song, stand up for Jesus, right? But if we were being dragged towards a lion's den, we'd say, sit down, and stay away. We'd be filled with terror. But shouldn't we be brave? Shouldn't we be courageous no matter what? In the bulletin, you'll find my outline that talks about these average people filled with faith. First, they only wanted to serve him, not start a revolution. At verse 10, Daniel 6, when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. He got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to God as he had done before. These are shining stars. And they're so faithful in their reaction to God that the enemies could predict what was going to happen. And I'm putting Luther together in this scenario because it was just a simple one-piece paper that was nailed to a wall, a door, 500 years ago. You see, the lion had poked Dr. Luther, a simple man, a theologian, a monk. But the reason that he responded was because you can't sell forgiveness. Something that should be freely offered to everyone. You can't sell it. And so the beginning of the Reformation is like this story. Daniel did not want to start a revolution. All he wanted to do was faithfully serve God, and he was good at it. As he continued to do this through king after king, not only interpreting dreams, but leading the country, the government well, the king had in mind to raise him to the top position. Why? Because everything that Daniel did was being blessed. And that was good, it seemed, to the king, but not to his political peers. You ever hear of the word swamp? They lined it up in a brilliant but simple plan so that the king and Daniel would oppose each other. They managed to get the king to do something, probably while he's doing lots of other things, that seemed good to him. To get better commitment in the country, let's have a whole month where everybody bows down and worships the king. You, king, are going to be the only one that matters. Sign it right here. He did. And then they knew Daniel wouldn't do it. And so they waited for Daniel to open his windows, and in public, Daniel would pray to a different god, not to the king, and they nabbed him, and they brought him to the king and said, "There it is, your best man. Look, he doesn't even obey you." You see what a conundrum he had been placed into? Can you imagine that this is like a shining star in a black hole? How hollow and empty many of the Christians had become, the Jews of that day. That they had pocketed their faith. They were willing to compromise, but not Daniel. Tempted, yes, he was going to be tempted. There's no doubt about it. Somebody probably would have said in today's language, "Hey, Daniel, dude, just lay low. Do this private prayer thing. You know, hide and it'll all blow over in 30 days and they'll all forget about it. You can go back to doing your thing." No. That's not how we roll. And you see that Daniel is in the latter part of his life. He has never not served God. I think the temptations are familiar to us. You know, it might be the lions that are paraded out prowling, lions of rejection, loneliness, ridicule. What might happen at work if I... And then there are the other things that just sweep across a life. Sometimes it's despair, dejection. It might be unemployment. It might be poverty. And I just can't take it anymore. You see, we cave at a much earlier time than a den of lions. Isn't it interesting that these men were just simply faithful? All they wanted to do was serve God. Luther was tempted to go along with the flow of the church. It was a particularly dark time in the history of the church in general. And part of it may have come from a good reason. To honor the arts and to lift up the abilities of human beings to build a cathedral in Rome, but it went too far. And isn't it kind of a strange irony that the man that stood opposed, the chief lion, was named Leo the Tenth? And he was the one that would be threatened by Dr. Luther. And when Luther would say, You cannot write these pieces of paper and offer forgiveness, that this was then called upon. By recording their faithfulness for history, Daniel and Luther, I think they're pointing to someone much greater. Can't you just see Jesus standing in front of Pilate, the Roman governor? The life of Daniel and of Luther mattered not, but the life of Jesus does. And when he was confronted with truth, he would honestly give the testimony that would lead to his death. A different den of lions. It was into that threat of death that Luther would walk in 1521 at the Diet of Worms, Germany. He stood before Emperor Charles V. He had safe conduct there and away. And then he was shown the books that he had written. He said, two questions is all he got. Are these your books? And he had to say yes. And that second question, will you recant of them? So in other words, it was rather clear. If you don't take back what you've written here, you're going to die. And Luther's response was an interesting one. He looked at the books and he said, I can't deny what's written in here, because if I did, it would be like denying Scripture. Many of these things came directly from Scripture. And the fact would be, I would disagree with much that the church has taught through all of the years of history. And I don't want to do that, so give me time. Like Daniel, Luther would go in and quietly pray. And the next day he came back, and the words, you know, that began the Reformation, I cannot do otherwise, God help me, here I stand. He says, unless I am convinced by the testimony of Scripture, I am bound by the Scriptures, and my conscience is captive to the Word of God. You see, the real positive thing about this is not Luther, his strength, his wisdom, his faith. It's God. It's that when you trust God and you put your whole life into His protection and put priority on worshiping Him, we see God's choice to protect. And you know, even like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they said, even if God doesn't rescue us, King, we want you to know, we will not bow down to you. So God closed the mouths of the lions. They would not devour Daniel. They would not devour Luther. They will not devour us. You see, he was able then to return home. A pretend kidnapping led to the Wartburg. Eventually, he would come back out of hiding, and the circumstances were such that he would die a natural death in 1546. Simple men, simple faith, but a massively complex gift of God in his son Jesus. We only need to serve him, not to give in to the flow. Now at verse 17, a stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring, that Daniel's situation might not be changed. The king returned to his palace, spent the night without eating, without any entertainment, and he could not sleep. Notice how the politicians of that day worked it out to exclude Daniel. It was a subtle manipulative plot. Didn't actually end well for them. Because what they were trying to do was get him out of the king's graces. In fact, get him out completely by seeing that he was dead. And there are laws in America that have made our nation what it is. But there's change. Freedom of speech, freedom of religion, new definitions of marriage. Do you know that in academia, you are not allowed to be in a high position if you do not accept evolution? You cannot be a creationist and serve on a staff in most universities. The spiritual law of America has seemed to move to this. Don't judge anyone. There's tolerance for all, except for those who believe and teach the truth in Christ. And so it almost seems that the den of lions is growing closer for each of us. Where will it be? When will come the time? I think that we need to understand that turning away can be dangerous as well. That if you begin to give in a little bit at a time, sin will eventually take control. It will overrun. It's called compromise. And you eventually don't know what the truth is. You see, the theologians of that day and of this day often continue to moderate doctrine. They change it so that it fits their perception. And Daniel just simply wouldn't do that. It didn't matter if it was a day, 30 days, a year. Daniel held to the same thing. In the previous chapter, when offered the high position and all of the accolades and dollars that could be given, Daniel said, you can keep all your rewards for yourself, King, but I'll do God's work. You see, it isn't Daniel trying to manipulate like the politicians. Instead of trying to write a law that would keep him safe, Daniel went home. He flung the windows open, and as was his custom, he prayed. Notice how the Word of God does not change. And I would like to ask the question then of this generation, of us, of me. as I wrestle with this text, then we have to ask, have I changed with the world? Have I become afraid? Do I hide in my cubicle and pocket my faith so that I am not known as a true believer? Would I do what Daniel did? And think how this would have been if Jesus had backed away from the battle. As he came into the world, God himself would not run from the lion and his prowling and his devouring. In fact, he would go face to face and into the den. But there's a difference. You see, God allowed the lion to take control of Jesus and to rip him apart. I can't imagine why that would be allowed for the most pristine and beautiful person ever to live, but it did. And it's in that sacrifice that Daniel was saved, that Luther was saved, that we are saved. Because you see, he didn't back down. He faced the lion head on, and he died under it to rise again and conquer the enemy. I need that. I need that every day. And so do you. Because some days we are challenged beyond what our strength is like. And we need to see that a simple response of faith is all that matters. Sometimes it is just that simple. A child who is respectful. Some would say it's almost strange today. An employee that is faithful and hardworking. Wow, wouldn't you like one of those? A husband and wife that are so committed because God's word said that they should be, no matter what. Is it there in that life that we are living that we will find the faithfulness of God? Ironically, the king who made this decree had a complete reversal. It was God who answered the king's question, has he been able to rescue you? Daniel? It was the king that would learn. You remember that this is the king who called himself a god and said everybody should kneel. He's the guy that got Daniel into trouble in the first place. And so what does he do? He goes back and he's miserable while Daniel's sleeping. He prays to God, a different God, not himself, for rescue. And when he comes and he says, could this God rescue you, Daniel? He is brought to his knees, and afterwards, after destroying all of those who had plotted against Daniel, he would tell the whole nation, you are to fear the God of Daniel. Isn't it strange that God would do this in such a way to give testimony that it is not the person, it is not his prowess or his ninja skill that kept him out of the lion's mouth, but it is God's faithfulness and his love. You see, threatened with death, Martin Luther would not back down. And many more were brought to faith. Even, yes, some were put to death, but many more were brought to faith. And there it is. I can do no otherwise. Here I stand. God, help me. Help you. And he already has. He has made his promise, and the Lord will lift us out of any den. Amen.